Welcome into prayer time here on WHCB 91.5 The Blessing. Kenneth Hill here with you, and so happy to be with you on this 18th day of May. And we appreciate your being with us this early in the morning. I know sometimes I toss and turn and can't sleep even up until an early hour. And when that happens, what do you do? If you can't get the rest you think you need. I'm waiting. Oh, well, yes, I'm toss and turn. Yeah, what else? And some of you get up and get a warm glass of milk or something else and then go back to sleep, or try to. Well, I have found something very good, and doesn't always put me back to sleep. That's okay. But a good thing to do is to pray. Yes, pray. And I've got a number of people that I've been praying for who've got some major problems physically and some other problems as well. Of course, praying for the radio station and the ministry, the funds would come in for the ministry, and all of the prayer needs that are out there. Lots of things to pray about. So I would encourage you that when you have those times that you just sort of don't seem too sleepy or can't get too rested, that you spend that time in prayer. Now, of course, there's the old teacher who would say, well, yeah, you spend your time in prayer and you'll fall asleep while you're praying. Well, that could be, but that's not the reason for praying, that's for sure. I found this in the Evangelical Methodist magazine from Jim Field's Cedar Chest. Parable of the Mirrors. A peddler stood in the city square and shouted, "My merchandise can change your life." A crowd quickly gathered, and the peddler displayed a cart full of mirrors. "Preposterous," said the crowd. "How can mirrors change our lives?" Most of the people scoffed and walked away. But three women stayed to take a closer look. Each finally decided to buy a mirror. The first woman bought a small, fancy mirror. "I don't want to look at myself," she thought as she walked home, "so the mirror will have to change my life from another room." She mounted the mirror in an unused study where it was covered with dust and cobwebs. As she walked home, the second woman said to herself, "I'll not waste my time looking into this mirror. It will have to change my life as I carry on my daily duties." So she mounted her mirror in the hallway, where she glanced at it occasionally. "If a mirror is to change my life," the third woman thought, "I must get it out, get as much out of it as I possibly can." So she mounted the mirror in her room and stared into it expectantly each morning. Soon she began to notice when her hair was out of place, so she combed it carefully. She observed blotches of old makeup on her face, so she washed them away. She saw that her dresses were torn and plain-looking, so she mended them and added lace and color. Soon others began noticing the old woman who was using her mirror. She was invited to tea by her neighbors. She was visited by new friends. She was courted by the most eligible bachelor in town, whom she eventually married. One day, the changed women, or the changed woman, met the other two who had bought mirrors, but were still unchanged. "We all bought life-changing mirrors," the pair said, "but our lives have not changed like yours. Yours has changed tremendously. Why?" The changed woman smiled. "It's all in how you use the mirror," she said. "The more often you see yourself the way you are, the more you're able to change." Think of one of these mirrors as a Bible. The first woman represents the kind of person who buys a Bible just to say she has one. The second woman symbolizes the person who has a huge family Bible on the coffee table so that those who see it think she's religious. But the third woman stands for the Christian who reads and studies God's Word to learn what is wrong with her life and how to change it. That's the parable of the mirrors. And that's in the section called The Cedar Chest by Jim Fields, the editor of the Evangelical Methodist Magazine, the March 2010 edition. Wanted to share that with you. And how true it is. If all we're going to do is set the Bible on a shelf, we will never be changed. If all we're going to do is go to church on a Sunday morning or some other service once a week, and then expect everything to be better simply because we happened in a meeting of some sort, instead of being there to learn and to worship. Well, if we're going to be that way and that superficial, then of course we're not going to be changed. But the Word of God, my friend, applied to your heart, will change you. The Holy Spirit of God will use that Word in your life to make you someone different, someone special, someone useful in the very hands of God. Psalm 136. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I'll give thanks unto the God of all gods, for His mercy endureth forever. I'll give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever, to Him who alone doeth great wonders. For His mercy endureth forever, to Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. And then he goes on with God's mercy enduring forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. You know, God's mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. His grace endures forever. His peace endures forever. His salvation endures forever. You see, God is ever-existent, and His attributes exist eternally, always, never having had to come into existence, always being in existence, because they are the attributes of Almighty God. And if we dwell only on the mercy of God, we see it in such richness. And that's wonderful, but also there are other attributes of God as well. And I love to dwell on the attributes of God and to think about them, to meditate upon the attributes of God and what He has done, who He is, what He's doing, and what He can do for you and for me. I got an email from a dear sweet saint who was just wanting me to know some things that were going on in her life, the life of her family. And I know these folks, and so it wasn't a surprise to hear from them, but it was a very personal note. And it was one that just said, I want you to be praying. You see, we are important to one another. My eyes are misting up a little, because when I think about people requesting prayer, it's our responsibility to pray and to take those needs to the throne of Almighty God. Let's go to prayer, shall we? Father, You know our hearts this morning. I want to first thank You for salvation through Jesus Christ. And thank You for Your love that never fails. Thank You for that forgiveness that's ours. For that grace that's ours. Grace that's so great and abounding. Thank You. Full and free it is. We thank You for Your grace that You've given to us. Lord, as we face this new day, we ask that You would give us wisdom. That You would give us direction. That You keep us in the path. Keep us doing the things that need to be done. There's so many things out there, Father, that call for our attention. But help us to do those things that are needful. And Father, we ask for Your provision here. That You'd bless the staff and the volunteers. That You'd make the provision available that we need. That we can continue doing the work You've called us to do, I pray. And I thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.